Gracious Father, we're so thankful to be here, and we just ask that you would watch over us and be with us all day long. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So, today is going to be different. We're going to take questions and answers, and I'm no longer having the Saturday meetings with the brothers, but they are sending their questions to me. So, number one will be, if the 144,000 are killed by Antichrist, how do they enter the millennium? And in what resurrection do they rise since the Antichrist kills the 144,000? Now, that's a good question. And, I'm thankful for that because it shows their thinking, although the thought is not on our resurrection, but it is for those brethren who will be killed during the time of the tribulation period. So answer is that Brother Bram said this, from the 70 weeks of Daniel, he said, now, these two prophets, what will they do? It's Moses and Elijah, and they'll rise on the scene, and they'll tell those Jews their mistake. And out of that Jewish bunch that's there now to be the 144,000, God will call all with these prophets. So the spirit of Elijah off of this Gentile church will just continue right on into the Jewish church. Go right on in and call Moses with him. Hallelujah. You'll see it. And he'll preach the same message of Pentecost to those Jews. And they rejected the Messiah. They rejected the Messiah. Amen. You see it because it's the same Pentecostal message that these Jews will preach right over to them, and they'll hate those Jews so bad till they'll kill them. And they were hated of all nations and in the midst of the week because that they raised up a great power, 144,000. They had the Holy Ghost. And brother, you talk about doing miracles, they did them. So, Brother Bram lets us know without qualification that the wide revival of miracles and things will be done during the Jewish time. All right? So the bride is focused on only one thing. She's focused on the Word. All right? They stopped the heavens, and it didn't rain in the days of the prophecies, smote the earth with plagues as often as they wanted to. They give plagues and everything else, and they'll give them Romans a hard way to go, but finally they'll be killed. Our God is a terrible God when he's angry, but remember, that's over in the 70th, and the church in glory. So we are in glory at this time. It's in this last half of the 70th week of Daniel, and so all I can say is amen to that, that we don't have to go through more of that because I'm tired. It's when you have suffered in the body, it's tough. So the wedding supper is going on. Yes, now notice, that's where we've seen her coming back to the millennial temple over here at the end of the Jewish age, the anointed. Now, I will say this, that I have a friend who years ago he left the church, and he's repentant about it, but he just left, he just felt led to go, and he was young, immature at the time, and now he's grown in the Word and we're very close. And anyway, he told me that a Pentecostal friend who stuck closer to him than a brother would measure his blood pressure after every sermon, and it would be up around 300. And so it comes to find out that because, he was Pentecostal and, he's up. Well, listen, Brother Bram said, when you preach a 45-minute message, it's equivalent to 8 hours of work during day. So anyway, I found out that my blood pressure was very difficult because I would have to raise my voice to answer my wife, and then I would have to raise it again because she doesn't hear so good. Then I would raise it, and it sounded like I'm shouting, and I wasn't shouting, but she thought I was. And so I just want to say that there is a way. The therapist told me that, you know, just text her. Voice it in your mouth and hit the microphone and text her, and then she'll get the answer. And that way it's not like you're raising your voice. So I'm not going to raise my voice either from the pulpit, but I'm just letting you know that, you know, we get to the place where we just keep doing, all right, because it's the right thing to do. And, you know, I had other friends say, well, why don't you retire? And you know, I thought about it, but I'm not going to retire because you don't retire as a minister from God. Now, if God quits giving me revelation, I guess I have nothing else to do but to sit down. But as long as God is giving me revelation of his word, then I plan to stay as long as I can. But I need your help. I need you all to be here in church. And I haven't instructed Justin yet, but I'm going to instruct him right now that I want the password changed. And I don't want the password to the church given out to the people. I want you, Brother Don, you're at the door, right? So when they come, you just open the door, let them in. And then when I start to preach, you can come and sit down and rest. And then enjoy. And that way, if you're late, you're late. And I'm sorry, but there's some people that are late all the time. And what can I say? You're going to be late for the rapture too. And it's going to be a sad thing because I really believe that we should be prompt. If you were late in your job more than once, you'd be fired. Now, if you can't make it on time, then call Justin and let him know about what time you're going to be there. And then he'll tell Don, and then they can make arrangements to have somebody at the door for you. But otherwise, we have to do this because the reason why we have a lock in the first place is because we have had a guy come into church and he tried to interrupt the church on two different occasions. And finally, the police told him never to come back. But, you know, he's a crazy person, so he'll probably come back anyway. And there are crazy people out there. So almost all the message churches that I know of lock their doors. And it started out with one church in South part of Tucson. And, you know, people made fun of it because it's 20 years ago. But they were in a rough part of town, and people stole things, and so they locked the gates and they locked the building. So if you came to church late, you just didn't hear it. Well, at least we have, if you pull in the parking lot and it's after time, you're late. I'm sorry, but you will sit in your car or you can go home. And I don't mean that to be rude, but I don't think Noah opened the door after God closed it. And so, you know, we are going to be a little bit more disciplined and around here, because people kind of meander in, meander out, and that's fine if that's your thing, but it's not my thing. So, Justin, if you would do that for me, thank you. And God bless you for doing that. Anyway, you know, we try to, enough of that on that subject. So anyway, he says, here he come, riding on a white horse. Those followed him on a white horses, power. Dressed in white blood, or vesture dipped in blood, wrote on him the word of God. He come with the mighty conqueror, yes sir, to set up the millennium, coming to the temple glory, where he meets that 144,000. So, you know, as far as the bride, she's in glory. She doesn't partake in this. Now, people, evangelicals look to the temple being built. You know what? It's none of our business. I'm sorry. They are Jews. And God deals with them separately. Notice he deals with them separately. He does not deal with them. And the question and answers today are very good in the sense that it helps you to understand that God deals with us in one way, personally, and with them through angels and messengers. Now, the 144,000 space of time that is left is between 3.5 years when we come forth into a millennium. up. So these messengers and Elijah, Moses, they're killed, and then they're raised again, and the 144,000 are killed. All right, when do they come up? That's the question. When do they come up? They come up before the millennium, after the 3.5 years, and we don't know how long that will be. You see, the world will be destroyed by fire, and it may take 100 years, it may take 1,000 years. I don't know how long it will take after the 3.5 years. That doesn't matter to us because we're in glory. We're protected, all right? We had a great wedding supper, and then we are there until we come back upon the ashes of the wicked. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to come out on the earth and go plop, plop, plop. It means that the earth will be regenerated, and it'll be growing in vegetation. Now, I don't know how long a seed takes to plant and how fast it grows in that time, but God is going to grow everything back for us so that we can really have a wonderful time together. So don't worry about when they come up. They will be resurrected as part of the second half of the first resurrection. The first half was when Jesus raised the dead, and there was many witnesses. The Old Testament saints came up, and he led captivity captive. But the second half of the resurrection is when we go up, and they will be the second half of the second half, I guess, because they'll have a separate resurrection. But it doesn't matter because God does it. So they die during the time that the Gentile bride is at the wedding feast, but they are raised up during the end of that time. We do not know when the millenniums begin, but many people think, since God does not spell out that there is a breach of time between the wedding supper and the millennium, that there is a space of time, but this we do know that there could be some gap. Otherwise, at the end of the 3.5 years, the world is burned over, and we tread the ashes of the wicked. But how do you plant and grow if everything is still ashes? You can't plant on ashes. All right. So you can use ash as fertilizer, but you don't plant on ashes. So we know that there will be time, some time there at the end of the 3.5 years. So there has to be some time involved here, and it is during this time they are raised up to enjoy the millennium. So what resurrection do they come up in? They come up sometime after they die, maybe immediately, I don't know, or at least after the wedding supper is over, unless they get to enjoy it as well. But I don't think so. That's for the bride, okay? But we do know exactly when. No, but we must know, we must not be so restrictive with the times and seasons, because that is God's business, not ours. He's a sovereign God. He does not answer to any. He didn't tell Noah how long that he would be in the ark. All right, he just said, get in there, and I'm locking the door. So God locked the door, and he was not permitted. No one else was permitted to come in. Now, from the sixfold purpose of Gabriel, visit to Daniel, he said, when the tabernacle is erected, the resurrection has come, the Jew has returned, Christ and his bride has come, the Jew, the 144,000 are sealed, the millennium has taken place, there will be an anointing when the most holy place will be anointed, the holiest of holies, and the most holy. Now he says, the most holy place is a sanctuary where God lived between the cherubims, and this time Christ was set in the most holy place with the anointing upon him. And they'll need no sun there, for the Lamb in the midst of the city shall be light. The sun will never go down in that city, as old Uncle Jim used to say. It never will, because Christ will be that light, the anointed one. And the king will come and take his throne for 1,000 years of reign. Now, all right, so the 144,000 will come up or be resurrected before the millennium begins. And remember that they will already have the Holy Ghost, but they are part of the second half of the first resurrection, I mean of the second resurrection, as the last one comes up. They'll die during the time the Gentile bride is at the wedding supper, but they are raised up during the end of that time. All right, so we do not know when the millennium begins, but many people think, since God does not spell out that there is a breach of time between the wedding supper and the millennium, that there is no space of time, but this we do not know. In other words, we have assumed for ourselves that we go right from the wedding supper to the millennium. But all you have to do is think about what has to take place in order for the millennium to be a place that we will really enjoy. Okay, there could be some gap or space of time between the 3.5 years and when we come forth into the millennium. Otherwise, at the end of the 3.5 years, the world is burned over and we tread the ashes of the wicked. But how do you plant and grow if everything is still ashes? So there has to be some time here, and it is during this time they are raised up to enjoy the millennium. So what resurrection do they come up in? They come up sometime after they die, maybe immediately, or at least after the wedding supper is over. but do we know exactly when? No, and you know what? I don't care. Because it doesn't concern me. I'm bride. So I'll be at the wedding supper. You will be too. God's business is God's business. He takes care of the Jews. He takes care of the bride. The bride was told to go into the secret chamber with the children while Joseph revealed himself to the brethren. All right, so you know she was away enjoying the things of being the wife, and he dealt with his brothers. He revealed himself to his brothers. So there will be a revealing. They'll say, how did you get those nail-scarred hands? He says, in the house of my brother. Now, he doesn't come here for us, the bride. We go to meet him halfway, and then as we're going up, he's coming down to the Jews. All right, so that gets to the next question. Number two, the seven angels that appeared in Revelation 1:20, who are the messengers of the church ages? Are they the seven spirits that are before his throne of Revelation 1 and 4? Well, so we're going to have to read that. And let's just read 1:20 first. The mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and of the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven lampstands are the seven churches. Now, Revelation 1 and 4. To the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is and was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne. All right, so yes, they are the same seven messengers to the seven churches. In verse 4, he says that they are, but in verse 20, he tells you who they are. In other words, in verse what they are, seven church age messengers, verse 20, who they are, okay? Now, question number three. How does Gabriel announce the second coming of Jesus? In the message, do you believe this? The prophet said the following. And God, when he sends something great to earth, he announces it through angels. We know that. The birth of Jesus and all that was announced by an angel. Now, lesser angels will come. For example, the one who came to me is a minor angel. Now, I don't say that Brother Branham, that angel that came to him is different from the pillar of fire that came to him. Because, the angel came out of the light, but Brother Branham calls him a lesser angel right here. And yet, it was God who came down with a shout. So God comes directly for the Gentiles with a shout, a voice, a trump. But they have the angel Gabriel. Now, and God, when he sends something great to earth, he announces it through angels. We know that. The birth of Jesus and all that was announced by an angel. Now, lesser angels will come. For example, the one who came to me is a minor angel. But when you see Gabriel coming, there's something bigger on the way. Gabriel announced the first coming of Jesus. He will announce the second coming of Jesus. He will sound the trumpet, and the dead in Christ will rise. And Gabriel, the great archangel of God. Now, just think about that for a couple minutes, because we've all thought for a long time that, you know, Elohim came down. Well, he did come down. Well, then why is he saying Gabriel will announce the great second coming? Because Gabriel, you'll find, is an angel to the Jews. So, Brother Branham, Revelation 10:1-7, in some places he says that everything's been revealed and this is my ministry. Then, in another two places, he says Revelation 10 is to the Jews. Brother Vell had trouble with that, I know, because I talked to him about it. And it really laid things out in a different way. He was just coming to what we are coming to now, the resurrection ministry. And you listen to his later tapes, and that's what he talked about. But, so, what I'm saying is that, my answer is I do not know. I think we should have patience to wait until we have God's interpretation, which does by bringing it to pass. Okay, unless he does it during the resurrection period, in that case he will announce it to the Jews. Remember, he only deals with the Jews. Now, from the paradox, Brother Branham says, my God, what did he do? You know, we're made out of 16 different elements of the earth, potassium, petroleum, and cosmic light, and what more. He just reached over and got a handful of atoms and cosmic light, petroleum, and he says, step into it, Gabriel, and made one to himself. Now, see, Gabriel is known as the angel who comes from the presence of the Lord. You know, fear not, Mary, I've come from the presence of the Lord. Fear not, Joseph, I've come from the presence of the Lord. All right, so Gabriel is an angel in the presence of the Lord. But also Brother Bram's angel come from the presence of the Lord. So does that mean that somehow Gabriel is that angel? No. No, listen to all he has to say. He said, that's our God. When he gave his message to Abraham, he vanished and turned right back to God again. Now remember, who stayed with Abraham? God. Who went down? Gabriel and Michael. To what? The Jews. To Lot. Okay? Now, there wasn't such a thing as Judaism, really, until Jude, the son of Isaac, came along. So, you know, then you had Jews, because they're born from a Jewish, or they're Jew from Jude. All right. So, anyway, so who is Abraham? He was a Gentile. And God was dealing with him, and the Gentile received the body change. Okay? Now, so he says, that's our God. When he gives his message to Abraham, he vanishes. He vanished. And turned right back to God again. All them atoms and things just broke up, like a fire breaks up the acids and chemicals in wood or coal or whatever you're burning, turning back to the unseen. I'm so glad my father's like that. See, I know after this body's become nothing, but you can't see no more, just the chemicals that it was, someday he'll call and I'll answer him, yes, sir. Like Job said, in my flesh, though the skin worms devour this flesh, yet in my flesh I shall see God. Okay? So, it doesn't matter how good of a condition our flesh is in, it's going to be changed anyway. So I'm thankful for that. All right? Now, from when their eyes are open, he said, now, it was unusual when Joseph, before the birth, when he found Mary, his lovely little sweetheart, that he was engaged to be married, he found her, and she was to be mother without being married. So she was, no doubt, had told him of the visit of Gabriel, the angel, and Joseph was just a man. He was a good man, and he wanted to be to believe her. I could imagine that he loved her with all his heart, seeing that young Hebrew maid and looked into her eyes. And when he said, Joseph, dear, the great angel Gabriel visited me, and he said I would be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, and the holy thing that would be born in me would be called the Son of God. Now, he wanted to believe that, but there had never been anything happen like that, so it was too unusual. And there was just a man, a good man, and the scripture claiming that a virgin would conceive, and he didn't understand it. See, the scripture that said that Christ would be born that way, still Joseph couldn't understand it because it was too unusual. Now, again, from God identifying himself, he says, like Joseph, he was a son of David, a good man, Joseph, the husband of Mary. He was a good man and no doubt read the Bible, the scrolls, continually because he was looking for a Messiah to come and should have known that the scripture said that would take place. Isaiah said, a virgin shall conceive. Now, he was going with this young girl, Mary, probably 18 years old. He was probably a bit older. And then when they were engaged to get married, she showed up to be mother. Now, that was kind of hard for Joseph to kind of settle on that. No doubt, but what Mary told him, the visit of Gabriel, and we noticed the way his character was leading him, he doubted it. Now, she was found to be mother before they were wed. And in the Bible, that punishment is death by being stoned. An unwed woman becoming mother, she had to be stoned. There was no prostitution in Israel. It was put out. So we find Deuteronomy tells us that. Okay, now, I'm just reading these quotes because establishing Gabriel came to, Gabriel was there for the first coming. Okay, now, from the paradox, he said, Elizabeth said that she was kind of worried. She said, because it's 6 months now and the baby hadn't moved. That's irregular. See, a baby is practically what we call today dead. As good as dead in his mother's womb. Now, 6 months, it troubled her. And John was 6 months older than Jesus, which was his second cousin. And Mary and Elizabeth were first cousins. And then when we find that Mary looked back, her young face, and she said, I'm going to have a child too. So you and Joseph are married? No, we're not married. Are you going to have a child? Yes, the Holy Ghost shall overshadow me. It's a paradox, see? The Holy Ghost shall overshadow me, and the holy thing will be called the Son of God. Now, I don't know how theologians can read that and call him the God, the Son. Or, it just doesn't make any sense. So Gabriel met me, and when he did, he said, I'll have a son, and I'll call his name Jesus. And as soon as she said this, Jesus, a little John began to leap in his mother's womb. He received the Holy Ghost, and the Bible said he was born from his mother's womb full of the Holy Ghost. The first time that name was ever called of a human lips, a dead baby came to life in the womb of a mother. What it ought to do to a born-again church, that name Jesus said, why come, when comest the mother of my Lord? For as soon as thy salutation come to my ears, she heard his name, my baby leaped in the womb for joy. It's quite a phenomena. It's a paradox. So, all right, we see a miracle take place. Now, for observers, we would see Jesus. He said, now, what was that? That man that talked to Abraham called him God, capital L-O-R-D, and any Bible scholar knows that's the self-existing one. Elohim, see, the self-existing one. Some man said to me, you wouldn't believe that was God. I said, the Bible said it was God. I said, why, what's that to God? I said, we're made out of 16 elements. There's, again, calcium, potash, petroleum, cosmic light. God just reached out, reached and got a handful of those elements of the world and said, push and step into there, Gabriel. We're going down to Sodom. Reached over and got another handful, push, step in there, Michael, and push, stepped in himself. Why, he did. He eat. And eat the eat the calf of Abraham killed, is that right? Drunk the milk and eat some cornbread and eat the butter, that's right. God, well, I'm glad it's nothing for you, for God. You just forget who he is, but I'm so glad. Okay, now, just a few more. Someone said to me, from Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, someone said to me not long ago, a minister, brother, he said, you don't believe that was God? I said, sure, sure I do. Abraham said it was, and I believe the Bible. He said, now, how could God be in that place eating that and eating meat and stuff like that? And I said, you just forget who he is. Now, we wanted to investigate Sodom, so the human body is made out of 16 elements, you know, like I think it's potash and petroleum and cosmic light and so forth, and he just grabbed a handful of it and stepped right into it, wrote another handful for Gabriel and one for another one, come on down, that's all. I'm glad I know him like that, don't you? Yes, sir. He made himself. He can make anything to serve his purpose. So he stepped down. That's right. He stepped right out into it. Now, again, from Jehovah Jireh, he said, a minister said to me one time. He said, Brother Bram, you don't tell me that you believe that a man was God. And I said, Abraham said he was. All the translators has translated it the same way, capital L-O-R-D. And anybody that reads the Bible knows that capital L-O-R-D is Elohim, coming from the same one, Elohim, at the beginning. In the beginning, God created Elohim, the mighty, self-existing one, created the heavens and the earth. Here he is again, standing right before him. You see, now, let's just stop for a moment, because he just said something important. He said, Elohim created the heavens and earth. So when Paul talks about Jesus Christ is the firstborn, and then he says he's the creator of heavens and the earth in Colossians, it was God. It was God who created it through Jesus Christ. Jesus can't create. He can't do anything until the Father shows him what to do. All right. So he said, well, you don't. He said, that was just a man, sure. And he eat meat, and he eat, and drinking meat, milk, and he eat bread. And I said, sure, he was God. So he said, how could that be? And I said, mister, I hope I don't hurt your feelings. They was Jehovah's Witnesses. And he said to me, he said, Mr. Branham, look here, I want to tell you something. God couldn't do that. And I said, you just don't know my God. That's all. I said, what is a human body made out of? It's petroleum, potash, and cosmic light, 16 elements. Only thing God had to do to come down and investigate Sodom, he just reached over, got a handful of cosmic light and petroleum, and said, come here, Gabriel, step into it. That's right. Reached over and got another handful of dust. Come here, Michael, step in here, and made one for himself. He had to represent something. He was going to be in the last day, so he comes right down and talks in human flesh. Exactly right. Oh, I'm so glad that he's that kind. All right. And then from Supersight, I believe there was two angels. Now, see, we're only made out of elements of the earth. that's you know, calcium, potash, petroleum, cosmic light, and so forth. Just God just reached down and get a handful of the stuff and go and stepped in there. Step in there, Gabriel. And then we're going down. And made himself one, and that's right. And I'm going to know him like that. Though there might not even be one speck of me left on earth, but my God, who promised to raise me up in the last days, can speak of the cosmic light, and things will come to existence. If only my name's on the book, amen, wrote there by the blood of the Lamb, a super sign. Remember, as I said last week, when Jesus walked through the wall, flesh and blood cannot walk through a wall. So he was in his glorified state. So God was done with the blood, and now to come to the blood, you must walk in the light. Okay? So all these revivals that are going on. Now, listen, I've watched countless numbers. And people that went to the revival with a sign saying, homosex is sinful, and on their T-shirt, and they were not permitted in the building. All right? So, listen, an old man went there, and people were talking to one another, and the old man went, and he was told, you have to leave because we're only letting in Generation Z in this right now. So, you know, there was things going on there that you're not told because of the videos, all right, that went on, like, you know, I was told that, well, some brothers from The Message from Arkansas went there. Now, I would ask the question, why would anyone in this message go to a Pentecostal, charismatic, Trinitarian thing expecting to find something? You're not going to find nothing. So I'm sorry, those days are over. We have seen our last revival, and we will be going to another revival, which is the one that God has for us in the resurrection when he revives the dead. Okay? So let's just leave. There is nothing happening out there. The rain could fall on the just and the unjust. It's the rain. In other words, God is giving them a reason to join together. That's it. If there was really something there, they would come out of that and they'd come into the message. So I'm not interested in anybody outside the message. Now, not that I hate them. I don't hate them. But I just let them go. After two admonitions, you reject as a heretic. So I just let them go. They can do what they want to do. You live with them. You do good for them. And you're going to find tonight's service is very, very important, because Brother Branham deals with perfect love. And I'm going to show you tonight what that perfect love is. And it is not a feeling. It is not being nice. Some people are born to be nice and some people are not. Almost all of the Old Testament saints or prophets that God dealt with, like Elijah, like Moses, had a temper. All right? Now, what does that have to do with their salvation? Nothing. You see? It has nothing, only human dealings. But it had nothing to do. John and James were called the sons of thunder for no reason except for they had a temper. Okay? You can look at the men of God, and I'm going to get into in this generation, so you understand. Because Brother Branham, you say, well, if I could only be like Brother Branham. Brother Branham was very nice. Being nice doesn't do one thing for your salvation. Okay? It just means that you get along with people. Brother Branham was born under a two, which means he was gregarious. So he was, some people you meet them, and they're funny, and they're nice, and you get along with them, and not, you know, no problems with them at all. That's just their nature. But don't mistake that for revelation. Revelation is everything. All right? So, from the confirmation of the commission, Brother Branham said, why, the only thing, you know, we're just made of 16 elements, petroleum, cosmic light, potassium, etc. And then he says, step into this, Gabriel. And got another handful, went, step into this, Michael. Went, step into himself. So coming up, we're going down. That's our God. See, some of these days, all of these elements is going to go. And he's going to say, William Branham, and I will say, here I am, Lord. And he just great. Okay, now, again, you know, I'm just going to skip over this because I don't have time, but we're talking about Gabriel stepping into and Michael stepping into cosmic light and petroleum and everything else. And they went down to Sodom. So they dealt with the Jews, or the pre-Jews. But anyway, they dealt with Lot, all right? And God stayed with Abraham. Now, if you want to change places with them, that's fine. I mean, I'd rather stay with Abraham. All right, and deal with God, then deal with an angel. to the Jews. Okay, so all right. So in this one, he says Daniel 70 weeks is laying in its condition. That's the only thing. Only shows that's just a period of time. Can't you see? God don't have a thing to cater. He's just letting it run like that for a little time. And I truly believe that the thing was done, or at least in the days when God is going to reveal these secrets to the church, he hasn't done it before. And the reason he hasn't done it before, to keep the church watching and praying all the time, not knowing when it was coming. But you remember in Daniel 12, he said, the wise shall understand in the last days. Amen. Now, you see, you have an understanding from the Holy One. You know all things. Now, the anointing that got on them in that revival, I don't think it was a genuine Holy Spirit anyway, for this reason. It could be, but all they got was the blessing of rain, basically. I mean, all they get. Because, you see, if you have the Holy Ghost, you will know all things. All of a sudden, God will open up to you the right things. And if they stay in that, they don't have it. All right. Now, it's been given to him. The wisdom of the spirit of wisdom comes into the church to make known to the church by the revelation of the Holy Ghost, bringing the church in and revealing what day that we're living in. Just the same as Gabriel came to Daniel, the Holy Spirit comes to the church in the last days to reveal these great, deep, secret things. Do you understand now? All right. So the Holy Spirit that you have upon you brings the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. But if those people remain in their denomination, they don't have nothing. I'm sorry, they got a little blessing and they got a little rain on the just and the unjust. But that just shows you, and that actually ties in with tonight, because you'll understand that perfect love is perfect faith. Brother Branson, love and faith are the same thing. And I'm going to show you tonight that you can't have perfect love without having perfect faith in a perfect word. All right? So, just as Gabriel came to Daniel, how was that? One angel to one Jew. Okay, the Holy Spirit comes in the last days. How was that? An angel to a prophet. All right, now, here it is not Gabriel, but Elohim, just as Gabriel, meaning in the same way, because Gabriel is the angel to the Jews. So that light was the Holy Spirit, and he did like Gabriel does to the Jews, but I will have to wait until God interprets it by bringing it to pass. So when God actually does these things through Gabriel to the Jews, we can sit back in glory. And maybe God will give us a portal and we can watch what's going on. I don't know. But while in studying the scriptures, Brother Brown says, he's seen that the 70 years was run out. So, him being 68 years left, 2 years in the future until God would restore his people back to their homeland. While in prayer, we find out there was a great mighty angel came from heaven. Can anybody call his name? So the congregation says Gabriel. And he is the angel to the Jewish church. How many knows that? Everybody is Gabriel. Gabriel is a messenger to the Jewish church, came to Mary, he came to Zacharias, he always is Gabriel, and he's one of the great angels of heaven. Now, okay, so if you are looking for Gabriel, the angel, to announce the coming of Jesus Christ to you, you've missed it. You've missed it. He is coming to the Jews. Even in the book of Daniel, we see him spoke of the 70 weeks of Daniel, all right, God deals with the Jews. And even in the book of Daniel, we see he spoke to him of those 70 weeks. So, all right. From Mary's belief, he said, And she was thinking of the scriptures, that scripture was being confirmed to her, a child is born, a son is given. And about that time, she seen something flash before the little virgin, a light, no doubt in my mind, not the pillar of fire, but like the pillar of fire. And standing there was an angel, the mighty Gabriel, and he's a messenger to the Jews. Now remember, Gabriel announced the first coming of Christ. The angel Gabriel will announce the second coming of Christ. The Bible said so. Now there, it frightened the little lady, and she looked at him, and she said, Hail Mary, and blessed art thou among the women. Thou art highly favored of God, for God is with thee. And he told what was going to happen, that she was going to bear a child, and they should call his name Jesus, for he saved the people from their sins. Now, she had a right to know that that was a kind of a messenger. First thing, he was an angel standing there. The next thing, he told her who she was, Mary, so he discerned her. She knew that was a sign of God come down through the ages. She looked at him and said, How can these things be, seeing that I know not a man? And he said, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. Now, if Gabriel is an angel, always to the Jews, then what does his part in heralding the first coming and the second coming do? It could be that Revelation 10:1, the mighty God come down, the angel of the covenant, okay, has two parts. The pre-resurrection part was Elohim, and the post-resurrection announcement is Gabriel, because here it is, Jesus does both things. Jesus does not come to earth, he meets us in the air, but he comes to the earth to the Jews. Now, Revelation 10, who is the angel of the covenant? Jesus, right? And who is the fulfillment of that covenant? Jesus. And who introduced him at his first coming? Gabriel. And Alpha must repeat in Omega, right? Then who was the angel of the covenant of this hour? Okay, now, question number 4. And we'll close. In Revelation 10, 8-11, when he says, you must prophesy again, is that referring to the bride? Notice there's two parts. If you're going to do something again, there's two parts. I preclude that we have a first pre-resurrection and we have a post-resurrection. So, no, he is referring to the Alpha and Omega. The first ministry must be the last. The first, like the last. Malachi 4 was his pre-resurrection ministry, but what about when he comes back and time shall be no more? All right, now, from the masterpiece, Brother Brown says, the first Eve that fell and was used in the Second Reformation, Second Coming, as bringing forth a child, now has become a true bride again. See, the seed, right back with the original word. The Alpha and Omega is the same. He said, I am Alpha and Omega. He never say anything in between. I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. That's it. The first ministry and the last ministry is the same. The first message and the second last message is the same. I was in Alpha, I'll be in Omega. There'll be a day that won't be called day or night, but in the evening time it shall be light. See, Alpha and Omega, it's become the first and the last. Oh my brethren, we could stay hours on that. So, who is the angel now for the Gentiles? God, the angel of the covenant, was Elohim. And who will take the message to the Jews? I believe he told us it will be the same angel that introduced Jesus, the Son of God, the first time, Gabriel. That's what the vindicated prophet said, and I cannot say but what he said. All right, now, from the message, do you believe this? But when you see Gabriel coming, there's something bigger on the way. Gabriel announced the first coming of Jesus. He will announce the second coming of Jesus. All right. Again, just remember, he said about Gabriel. He said, from sixfold purpose of Daniel, Gabriel is a messenger to the Jewish church. And from Mary's belief, the mighty Gabriel, he's a messenger to the Jews. But to this angel we have came like Gabriel, which means it was not Gabriel, but it was God himself who came down with a shout. And then finally, from the 70 weeks of Daniel, he said, but you remember in Daniel 12, he said, the wise shall understand in the last days. It's been given to him. The spirit of wisdom comes into the church to make known to the church by the revelation of the Holy Ghost, bringing the church in and revealing what day that we're living in. Just the same as Gabriel came to Daniel, the Holy Spirit comes to the church in the last days to reveal these great, deep, secret things. Do you understand? Now, let's just pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for your word, and we are thankful that it's not Gabriel that is coming to us, but Lord, we'll be gone. We'll be in the wedding supper, because we know that you are here, and you are the great creator of the heavens and the earth, Elohim himself, and you brought with you the shout, which is the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of yourself. So we have gotten, as the prophet said, everything that we need to go in the rapture. And so we're just looking for that perfect faith in that perfect word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Now, tonight will be a very important message to the church, because we're going to look at exactly what is love and how it is that you receive this love, because it's not an emotion. It's not something that you can work up and be nice about. Brother Vail, and I'll just tell you tonight, but anyway, I think you'll be blessed. So God bless you, and you're dismissed. Okay.